Matthew 7, 24-28. We're going to go back to Matthew 6 in a bit, but this is where Mark started, 24-28, where Mark was talking about the resilient life. Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? The resilient life. And these verses here talk about the storms of life. Every time I'm up here, I'm always talking about action songs, aren't I? I can't stand them, but I think there's a secret desire here. But I'll read these verses. So Jesus has done his Sermon on the Mount, and at the end he finishes like this. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So we were talking about the resilient life, putting into practice these things that Jesus spoke about. He basically said, that's like building on the rock. If you do that, you're wise. It's like constructing a house built on a rock that can withstand the storms of life. Makes me think of a lighthouse a little bit. When you see those pictures of a lighthouse engulfed by a massive wave or something like that. Yeah, it's that sort of picture, I think, that we get things in life that come like that a little bit, and they smash against us, and it's whether we have the strength in God to actually withstand it. And Jesus made it really clear. Do these things, hear what I'm saying, and do these things, put them into practice, and you should be able to withstand it. It's not going to stop you going through this stuff.
That's right.
Never said that, did he?
No.
You know, if our lives were perfect, it would be great, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. But it isn't like that. Life isn't like that, unfortunately. But I'm very. It was handy that Maddie came out with that word this morning. It really helps when somebody comes out with a prophetic word that starts to confirm what you've already got in your heart to speak. And so when she said that about persevering through, what was the actual word she used? Persevering through discouragement, I think was one of the words, or. Was used in the context of amaze, wasn't it? But I've written here in big capital letters, talking about persisting through discouragement. So maybe that's something that God wants to talk to us about today. And that, I felt like that's what the Holy Spirit had been putting on my heart the last week or two, about persisting through discouragement, which quite clearly here in Matthew 7, that's what it's sort of talking about there, withstanding the storms of life. So I think really God wants to encourage us this morning to persist through discouragement. And God, I think God wants us as the body of Christ to be able to learn how to do that as well. Because all too often in my sort of time as a Christian, I've seen people just fall away. They're there for a period of time and then they disappear. And you think, well, where are they gone? What's going on? People quite often give up. They lose their hope in God sometimes. But discouragement, it comes in different guises. It comes in different ways, shapes and forms. But what's sort of been on my mind, really, is the type of discouragement that comes through circumstances not changing. Not seeing breakthrough. A list of them here. Being small in number. Lacking influence. The discouragement that comes through that. We're a small group of people, aren't we? Yeah? And we could easily believe that actually we don't have a lot of influence. We could easily believe if over a period of time we don't see much give, much shift, that actually nothing's going to change. It's a bit like this weather, isn't it? It's a bit grey out there. It's a bit cold. No sun.
Snowing.
Bit of snow today, that's not going to settle. We've had this discussion at coffee break, that's not going to settle. But, but you know, I've been through a period of time where the weather is just the same. Day in, day out, grey, no sun, cold, miserable, wet. You don't feel like you want to go out. If you've got a dog, you don't want to walk it. I'm thinking I'm going to have to walk the dogs in this afternoon. I don't really want to have to do that, but I think it's probably going to happen at some point. And it just sort of gnaws away at you, doesn't it? Driving to work, it's still grey, it's still cold, it's still damp. It's a bit like one of those Scandinavian dramas on BBC 4, isn't it? If you've ever seen any of those subtitles, everything's really dank and grainy, and it's normally about serial killer. But life can be like that sometimes. Situations can be like that sometimes. It just gets at you.
All right, John, we get it.
And it isn't getting at you, Jim Newport.
Come on, please. That saps your enthusiasm, doesn't it? But I think there's an encouragement, Adrian, to persevere and to get through that. And I just want to read a couple of verses, actually. One is in Isaiah 50. Verse 6 and 7. It says, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Now, it's talking here about a situation that isn't great. He's, you know, people are standing against him and trying to disgrace this person. But it's talking about setting the face like flint. Becoming hard, a flint is a hard piece of rock, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's saying, be hard-faced in opposition, be hard-faced in discouragement, and set your face in the direction you want to go. Just to sort of back that up, going on a little tour of the Bible here, but in Luke 9, 51 and 53, same sort of thing. I wish these pages were just turn on the line so I can do this stuff. Right, this is Jesus. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Then it says, and he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans. The Samaritans then were obviously as friendly as they are now, to prepare for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. So Jesus had made a decision that he was going to go to Jerusalem. We all know what happened in Jerusalem. That's where he was crucified, and he knew that, yet he set his face in that direction to go there. And on the way there, he wasn't received by the Samaritans. Nevertheless, he set his face in that direction and continued onwards. And it says that they went to another village instead. So I believe that God wants to encourage us this morning to set your face in the direction that you believe you should go. And be hard-faced against discouragement and continue to walk through it despite discouragement and keep going. I think that's what clearly came out this morning, that God wants us to keep on choosing him, keep on keeping on, walk through lack of breakthrough, walk through a lack of change in the circumstances, walk through the grayness, walk through the cold and the damp. Keep doing it. It's not always an easy choice to make, but I believe that God wants to encourage us to do that this morning, not only encourage us, but to challenge us to do that, to keep making a choice about the direction of your life. Because sometimes it's all too easy to stop making that choice and to give up. And Yvette came out with a word this morning that was a little bit like that, where, you know, we hear the promises of God, we hear prophetic words from time to time, and we're encouraged and we're infused for a period of time, and then we don't necessarily see the outworking of that straight away. We don't see the fruit of that straight away. And it's quite easy to actually lose that word sometimes. And we need to hold on to those things. We need to hold on to the promises of God and actually meditate on them and believe them, and sometimes speak those things out into the heavenly places, because we will receive opposition in this life. We will receive discouragement. So that is the, I think that's a prophetic word for us this morning, to do that, persist through discouragement. Don't give up. That's what it says in Luke 18, when Jesus starts to talk to his disciples, and it's a parable about the widow. Is it the widow? Yeah, it is the widow. I think it goes to a friend's house or the judge's house and keeps banging on the door. It was the judge. It starts off with it says that Jesus taught a parable about how people should not lose heart and how they should always pray. And that came to me this week, and I quite like that. You know, Jesus taught on this stuff. You know, sometimes we forget that, I mean. We forget Jesus actually addressed things like this. You know, because we can go through our life and think of Jesus as out there somewhere. But he's not. He taught on this stuff. He knew that we were going to have these struggles. And I found it really encouraging to read those words that Jesus said. There's a parable, you know. Listen to this. It's about your life and the things that you're going to go through. That you're not to give up. That you should always keep on praying. So be encouraged this morning by those words, okay? So now what we're going to do, we're going to go back to Matthew 6, which is sort of where I should have started, which is the passage I've been given to talk about. So what I'm going to do is read this out. Some of it's really well-known stuff. So this is all part of Sermon on the Mount, Emily. Right, so it says this. It says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad face. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Oh, that was a long passage, Mark. Thanks for that. I'm going to drink after that. Okay. So, Jesus picks on three different things here. And what I would say, all of those three things, which are doing good deeds, praying, and fasting, are good things to do. And I think Jesus affirms that here. That we should do those things. Yeah, we should pray. Yeah, we should fast. Yes, we should do charitable deeds. We should help other people. So Jesus is not knocking that. He's saying, that's all good. Do it. But I think he was addressing a particular attitude that was prevalent at that time, where there were maybe very religious people that were trying to get a pat on the back, shall we say, trying to look better than what they actually were by doing certain things at certain times, different activities that made them look good. Now, you've got to think about it in the context that I've already spoken about, which is building on the rock. Because at the end of this sermon, that's what Jesus says. Hear what I'm saying, do them. And if you do them, you're building on the rock.
Yes.
So what Jesus is in effect saying is, at this point, the people that pray on the street corner, and they use their vain repetitions, and the people that disfigure their face, like Emily was doing earlier, when I was having a conversation with her, I'm picking this pick on Emily Day. The people that disfigure their faces, the people that do their good deeds in front of everybody else, what I sense what Jesus is saying is they're not building on the rock when they're doing that. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're building on the sand, actually. That's what they're doing. They're not building on the rock. They're missing the point. Yes, pray. Jesus says do that, but do it in with the right spirit and the right heart. I mean, the word hypocrite is used three times here. It means play actor, doesn't it? I think that's what it means to wear a mask in a theatrical performance of some sort. Okay. So Jesus, in effect, is saying, look, you lot are a bunch of play actors. You like people that wear masks in a play. And if you like that, okay, you're building on the sand. You're not building on the rock. Now, I'm not suggesting that actually people sort of behave like that now, because it was a different time, wasn't it? It was a different context. But there are ways, actually, there are principles here that are similar. Yeah? So, Jesus is saying here, look, it's not enough, okay, to do certain activities at certain times, so that there is an appearance of godliness or following the Christian way. It's not enough. Okay? That is building on the stack. It's not enough to sustain your life through the storms of life.
Yeah.
That's what he's really saying here. That's what he's really saying. He's saying, look, you can do certain things at certain times. That isn't enough for your life. And I think that's the sense
I think, that God wants to say to us this morning. Who's ever been through a phase in their Christian walk where the only time you pray is in church? The only time you ever read your Bible is when the preacher says, turn to the book of Acts or whatever. Yeah? Or the only time you do any charitable deeds is because the church are doing something and you're sort of just present. We've all done that, haven't we? We've all been there. We've all done that. I've had periods in my life where, actually, I probably haven't prayed for about a month, and then, you know, someone says, can you open in prayer? And that's the first prayer you've said that month or something. Yeah, we've all been there, haven't we? Or you're asked to read the Bible. You're asked to preach. And you haven't read the Bible for a month or something. We've all been there in some way, shape or form. And what Jesus is saying here, and I think what the Spirit of God is saying to us, is actually that is a bit like these people described here, a bit. Yeah, it's a different context, it's a different time, but the principle's the same. Okay, we've all done it. Sometimes we all put on a mask from time to time, and we go through our Christian walk, and sometimes we say the right things, turn up at the right time, nod our head at the right time, say amen at the right time. But actually, what's going on before then and after then? Sometimes not a lot. It's a bit like a film set, you know, carrying on the theatrical thing. It's a bit hollow, isn't it? You know, if you went to Coronation Street film set, and you've got a row of terrace houses, no one actually lives in those houses, you know. It's not real. No one actually goes to the Rover's Return. Okay, nothing goes on afterwards. Okay, they're all empty. And sometimes we can be a bit like that, can't we? It's a bit like a film set. It's a bit hollow. Okay? And Jesus is saying this. That is not enough to sustain you through the storms of life. It's just not enough. It's not. What we need in our life is an ongoing source of the life of God. That's what we need. And doing certain actions at certain times and locations doesn't provide that. We can trick ourselves into thinking it provides that, but the reality of it is, it doesn't. And so, we've all been there, but, you know, I believe that God wants to say that to us this morning. That is not enough to sustain your life. So if that isn't enough, we've got to ask the question, well, what is then? What is enough? So I need to turn over to the next page so I can find out myself. Okay. Right, Matthew. Go back to Matthew. Right, so Matthew 6, verse 6. This is part of what I want to really focus on here. Right, in the Amplified version, and it was quite simplistic for the Amplified version, so it's not too wordy, it says this. When you pray, go into your most private room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is in secret. Say that bit again. Who is in secret? And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. That little phrase there in Matthew 6:6, it, you know, underline it if you can at some point. Pray to your Father who is in secret. But in the NIV it says to your Father who is unseen. Is that what it says there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so God is hidden to us, isn't he? He is. He's hidden to us. He's unrevealed. Okay, we don't go through our lives and we don't see in our everyday activities, do we, the place where God lives, do we? We don't. I'd love to. Don't know if I'd survive. We don't see that, do we? We don't see his dwelling place. The Bible calls it that, doesn't it? Or his abode. We don't see
heavenly places, do we? They're hidden from us a lot of the time. Well, most of the time, unless... we don't necessarily sense his presence, do we, all of the time?
No.
We don't necessarily hear his voice all the time. Because we're doing stuff. We're concentrating on other things, aren't we? We're working. We're doing the housework. We're driving. We're shopping. We're not thinking about these things, or we're not conscious of these things all the time. So God is quite often hidden from us. And God chooses to be hidden from us. He doesn't reveal himself to us all the time. And this is the core of what Jesus was saying here about praying in secret. Yes, okay, it's not just about doing it at certain times and locations, but he says, you know, the way to do this, the way to build on the rock so that you can withstand the storms of life, is to have an ongoing source of the life of God. And the way to tap into that is to pray to your Father who is in secret. And that requires a level of choice, choosing to do something. Because what he says here is, go into your most private room, which, I don't know where that would be in my house, and shut the door. So he's saying, do certain things, choose to do certain things, okay? Shut the door behind you, make sure there's no distractions, make sure you're not doing something else. You ever try praying while doing something else? It's quite difficult. I try and drive sometimes and pray. It's not always easy when you get cut up. Or I walk the dogs and try and pray, but they're like about a mile behind me and I'm constantly going, come on, come on, calling them, come on, back, come on, and I'm trying to pray. Or saying good morning to somebody. There's lots of distractions. And Jesus says, look, find somewhere that's secluded, in secret. Jesus quite often went to a secluded place, didn't he? It says in the Bible. But God is unrevealed to us, but he wants to reveal himself to us, is the thing that we need to know this morning. That God does want to reveal himself to us. But he doesn't give us it all at once, does he? I believe that God reveals himself to us in degrees, if we put it that way. He doesn't give us it all on a plate at once. So what I think Jesus is saying is, pray to your Father who is hidden. That requires a choice, and that requires an ongoing seeking of God. And in that seeking of God, I believe that God reveals himself to us. And in that revealing of himself to us, he strengthens us, he helps us, he encourages us, he reveals stuff to us. Yeah? He does that. And that is building on the rock. Because without that in your life, you may well just get discouraged and give up. Without that sense of God's presence, without that sense of God talking to you in your life, when all the other stuff crowds in, it's easy to leave that all behind and just try and work it out yourself. So that's what Jesus is saying, build on the rock. Build on the rock. Now, there's a couple of verses I just want to finish with. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. It's talking about this revealing, this hiddenness. So this is Paul praying. It says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Then it says in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Right, so in God, there's all this stuff
All this wisdom, all this knowledge, it describes it like treasures that we haven't tapped into, that are hidden from us. But it's there for us to tap into. Yet we haven't tapped into it. We may have tapped into it to a certain degree, but there's always more. There's always more. So if you connect with God at a certain level, and you walk with God at a certain level in a certain place, and it may be fantastic, and you sense His presence, and you may even get a vision, I don't know, whatever, a prophetic word, or God really affirming you, or something like that. There's always something more, you know, in God. Even if you're walking in miracles and, you know, great deeds, there's always more in God, because there's only certain degrees that He reveals Himself. And it doesn't matter where you are in God, whether you're just starting out or whether you're down the path a bit further, there's always something else to discover. There's always something else to discover. I'll read one more scripture. Psalm 31. Verses 19 to 21. It says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." So it's saying it's a secret place. Jesus said, didn't he, pray to your Father who is in secret. Pray to your Father who's hidden from you, who is not revealed to you. Okay? There's a secret place of God's presence, okay, that He wants us to find. He wants us to seek that out, and God is not saying, look, it's so far over there you'll never find it. He wants us to find it.
Yes.
But He wants us to seek it at the same time. Right, so the hidden things of God, if we seek them, we will find them, okay? And those things will sustain us. Right? And that is building on the rock. That is part of building on the rock. That's where I really want to finish. So, there's three things I've talked about, and we may, some of those things you might think, well, that's not relevant to me, but some of them might be. The first thing, persisting through being discouraged. Okay, if you feel like that, then maybe you need to respond to God in some way, shape, or form this morning. And maybe, you know, whether you want someone to pray with you, that's fine. The second thing was about not just doing certain things at certain times and locations, and not allowing that to deceive you into thinking that's what it's about. That isn't building on the rock. So if you're going through one of those phases, because we've all been through those phases, then respond to that. Respond to that word. It may mean that you repent of that, or you just need some encouragement, or whatever. And then the last thing is about seeking the hidden God who wants to reveal Himself to us. And maybe God is saying to you this morning, you know, seek me. Seek that part of me that is hidden from you. And make a choice. Make a choice, a conscious choice, to start doing that. So maybe that's the response that is required of you today. I don't know. Well, we thank you for your word. And I thank you that it's not fruitless. I thank you that it goes out into the heavenly places, into our hearts, Father. And I pray it be fruitful. I pray that it root down, Lord. I pray it be watered. And I pray it shoot up. I pray that it bear fruit in Jesus' name. I pray that you would minister to us, Holy Spirit, and that you would speak to us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us a new perspective this morning, that you would open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that you would open the ears of our heart, that we may hear clearly, we may see clearly. In Jesus' name. Yeah.